Hi, I'm Ali Hassan, host of CBC's Laugh Out Loud. Do you like to laugh? Because we're serving up big laughs each week. We feature comedians from across Canada. You might already be fans of some of them, and others might be new discoveries. We record emerging comedians and established pros in front of live audiences all across the country, and we promise that you'll be literally laughing out loud. You can find Laugh Out Loud on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
A whole lot going on in entertainment and pop culture this week. Comedian Gerard Carmichael has got a new reality show. I've never cringed so hard. It is brilliant. Dev Patel's directorial debut, Monkey Man, is out. There's a lot to talk about. The group chat is here. Let's get into it right now. I'm Alamin Abdul-Mahmoud, and this is Commotion. This is the day. This is the day where we talk about some of the biggest stories in pop culture. And to me, the big story is this new show from the comedian Gerard Carmichael. I've never seen television that is this risky, that is this uncomfortable, and I want to talk about it. Sarah Ty Black is here. Rad Simon Pillay is here. Jackson Weaver is here. What's good, everybody? Welcome to the show. How's everybody feeling? Hello.
So good.
Hello. There's a lot of chaos to talk about. I'm really excited to talk about it. But first, we're going to start with this new reality show because Gerard Carmichael has given us a show. It is called, I keep saying Gerard Carmichael Reality Show. That is because that is the name of the show. It's called Gerard Carmichael Reality Show. It dropped last week, and there is a lot to talk about here. But before we get into it, I just want to let Gerard explain what he's trying to do with this show. So here he is on Jimmy Kimmel.
I was inspired by the Kardashians and all the housewives.
You were.
But I wanted to make a show that was the show that happened after those cameras cut, like in between like the scenes of what a normal reality show would be, like just me sad in a fetal position, you know, like actually like dealing with problems.
It is intense. Sarah Ty, this is a show that is trying to play with this line that gets played with a lot in reality shows, which is like, what is real? What is not? If someone has not seen the Gerard Carmichael show, how would you describe it to them?
Well, in the first episode, he describes it as like trying to self-Truman show himself, which I think is true in one regard, but in the other, it's also playing with like those very real power dynamics that are present in reality TV in a way that's different from like film. It's very intimate, or at least it's playing with the idea of what we think intimacy might look like in this format. I think it's also very much for like the therapized of us, the deeply therapized.
Yes.
In as much as like, if you're not used to like thinking through actions and intentions from every single angle, you're going to be so just thrown into the deep end with this because it's just a lot to take in.
Yeah.
But just like story wise, we're just following him kind of in the wake of coming out. He's a baby gay. He's navigating sex and love and relationships, friends, family, lovers, toe sucking within 5 minutes.
Within
it's a bit
5 minutes flat.
Yeah. I was like, oh,
and
okay,
here we are.
That's what we're doing. Okay.
Yes.
It feels very, I was talking to a friend about it last night. It feels very like The Curse adjacent, not in subject
matter.
Talk about
the Nathan Fielder show that came out a few months ago.
Yeah, but he's like playing really similarly with that line between performance and vulnerability, and then like how awkwardness and comedy are different in those kind of different ways.
Yeah.
And then kind of like, as we see the show go on and also in the first step, he's also using the show to reveal parts of himself to his friends and family that he doesn't actually want to do the difficult work of doing it in person with them.
Right.
It's very fresh. It's very complicated. It made me think a lot, which is really rare, which is like shade to the industry as well as my brain.
y'all should be making better stuff that makes me think is what you're saying. But
it really made me think. I'm like very rarely looking forward to the Think Peace industrial complex, but sure. I'm looking forward to whoever can point this one down with a lot of clarity.
Just sort of like think through this show in public. I think this show is trying to do a lot of things. It's trying to complicate not just Gerard's relationship, but our relationship to the camera and what we trust in terms of what gets put on the camera. Sometimes it makes us feel complicit. Sometimes it makes us feel uncomfortable. Sometimes it makes us feel like, oh, I get to judge you because you put this on camera. And he's playing with all those dynamics. Jackson, I want to talk about, you know, how Gerard has kind of framed the show as like he wants to have the most awkward conversations with his friends because he doesn't want a moment that isn't real. And then there's a scene in the very first episode where he's talking to his best friend, Tyler, the Creator, and he's confessing his feelings for him. Let's listen to this.
The reason I wanted to talk to you on camera is that I kind of felt like a distance between us. I have an idea of what it is, but what I think,
what do you
is
think
made
that
it
is?
Awkward is because I told you I had feelings for you and we didn't talk about it ever. That was like weird. I don't know if it was just too awkward to talk about or too, I don't know. Like, it's just like, I feel like you left me hanging out there a little bit. Like
when you said that, I think I replied with like something super mad, normal, regular, like.
You laughed and called me a stupid bitch.
I did. Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. I did. And I think I just like brushed it off.
I know.
So, Jackson, one of the reasons that this scene has gone viral is because it's like, A, it's unprecedented for two guys of the hip-hop generation to be talking about their feelings on TV like this. But also, there's a lot more going on here. I felt like I wanted to die watching the scene, just watching Gerard's face.
And you just played the whole thing.
And I played the whole thing for you to just live through it right now. Well, but let's talk about your feelings about this. What did you think of that scene?
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of that. Like, I think the reason that this is so like in the moment, people are talking about it so much, is because it's kind of like a hot take machine. There's so many elements off of this that we can like use to therapize ourselves. Obviously, there's like Tyler's like come out as bisexual. I think he's usually tags it with a joke, but ostensibly he is bisexual. But still, you don't normally see two people in those spaces, like two men or especially two guys associated with hip hop,
two black
talking
men
about romantic, talking about romantic feelings to one another. Like, I am gay, I'm black. The first 20 years of my life was just having attractions to people that I could not talk out loud about.
Sure.
So there's the idea of like how limerence, the feeling of loving someone and them not loving you back, is like a very, very difficult thing to deal with. But the idea of like Truman showing yourself and then forcing somebody else to be Truman showed with you, probably kind of against their will, is kind of really gross. I don't like this scene. And I think this is one of those hot takes that come out of it alongside, you know, growing up gay, black person gay in hip hop, or like men talking about their feelings or like parasocial relationships. It's all this stuff to talk about. But that one where it's like the whole episode is Gerard trying to get Tyler to say something to him that he wants, and he's keeps pushing him into it, which is like, we've all seen on TikTok people like, oh, like guard your own spaces, or like talking to somebody like you're like an HR person to defend your own personal bubble is a weird way to negotiate a friendship. Mm-hmm. But all this is happening on camera in a reality TV show, uncomfortable in a room, camera pointed at his face. Tyler was not told what this is about before. Gerard's doing like a stand-up show, reading his texts to Tyler and Tyler's responses to this like live audience. And it's when you have a crush on somebody, it can suck, especially if you're gay and you like, there's that whole place to navigate, and we're like coming to a new space where you can, you know, talk about your feelings, but it's not the person you have a crush's on responsibility to steward and shepherd your own emotions. And in this occasion, Gerard is not only forcing him to like engage with this crush that Tyler obviously is not cool with, but doing it in person on a reality TV show that's told from the perspective of Gerard, and not coming off as an evil person is really tough. And I don't like the dynamics. It's bad.
The thing that you don't like about it is the thing that I like about it. I hate to say the thing that you just mentioned is that like the very presence of the camera is the thing that elevates the emotion for me, Sarah Tai. Like, there's something about the very presence of the camera and everyone's awareness of the presence of the camera that distorts the amount of emotions that are happening. And I think that's the thing that makes it work. Rad, I'm going to come to you on this in just a moment. Maybe I want to give Sarah Tai a moment to reflect on what Jackson just said about the idea that actually this makes it feel a little bit icky and gross to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot for me to empathize with Tyler, the Creator. No shade. and I think it how horrible. I also think how horrible it must be for like the first person you fall in love with after you come out to be Tyler, the Creator, like known troll, bisexual, which only opens up the possibilities for double trolling. Like it's truly an endless potential of trolling.
Yeah.
And I think that the only reason that this scene didn't fully descend into those kind of negative dynamics that Jackson was talking about, it definitely is mucking around in them, was because of Tyler's attitude and the way the way his troll vibe allows him to reclaim at least a little bit of power. And I think also like exactly what you're talking about in terms of what does it mean to have this interaction in quote unquote real life and what does it mean to film it? Yeah. That's a dichotomy I was thinking about throughout. And like as the season goes on, and this first
it's an
episode,
8-episode season. So this is like the first episode that's out. So
like,
far.
Damn, man, I would never treat my friends like this. And if someone did this to me, I would not. They would be out. And there's a difference between watching it for content or as a creative exercise, and a difference between like the realities being lived. You know.
Okay, so that's the thing. This is what I'm going to come to you on, Rad. Is like this is a thing that Daraj sort of includes in the first episode as being called out on by a masked character. Everyone's pretty sure that it's Bo Burnham who's being this masked character. I want you to hear what this masked character says to Daraj on camera.
Dude, this is not a neutral eye. This is not truth. This is narrative that will be edited by someone where the editing will all be choices. That's not truth. Like, and I have no access to that. So I'm like, that, you don't get any of me.
I'm trying to self Truman show myself, like trying to let cameras be what like God is.
It's exhibitionist.
Yeah, but what's wrong with that?
Gerard says, I'm trying to let the cameras be what God is. Rad, the issue of control is interesting. How much control do you think Gerard is ever going to have over what we're actually seeing on screen? Because he's giving us the illusion that he doesn't have any at all.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is so hard to pinpoint because, of course, like that scene is supposed to indicate the power games that can be played in the background. And ultimately, he has control of the edit. He gets to manicure what is shown in the same way that we could manicure our Instagram pages, you know, so there is that. But, you know, when you look at Gerard, I mean, he has control, but I wonder how much he really exerts his control, right? And I think at this point, you have to ask yourself, is this guy just really Nathan Fielder-ing it? Is he like really good at performing the awkwardness and performing the you know like the casualness of it all? Like when he's on stage and he's receiving a text message and reading it out loud, like is he really choosing chaos like that, or is he really good at performing it?
Yeah.
And I choose to believe that he's choosing chaos. Even like when you say like I don't necessarily agree that he's dragging Tyler Creator into this moment without Tyler Creator having some sense of his own. No, like he's putting himself there. He knows there's cameras there. He's you know. And also the way Tyler Creator eats his food, that just looks like he's totally comfortable in that moment. So, like, you know. But in terms of Gerard and control, I think he is someone that chooses chaos, and he is someone that likes to sit in discomfort, and he is someone who likes to drag other people into sitting in discomfort with him. And I think you just need to look at his Golden Globes performance when he hosted the Golden Globes and how like you tried to use him as their kind of DEI prop, and he
didn't
said
work.
No, I'm gonna wrestle control away from you.
I
am not taking your meetings. We're gonna now just sit in this discomfort. And so, and again, I don't know that he was really controlling things as opposed to choosing chaos. So
Jackson, although this also brings up this like additional murky idea of consent, right? Like the idea that like, you know what, like all the other people who are pulled into Gerard's orbit in the show, you see this as a parallel to something else that is happening with social media. Can you just talk a little bit about that relationship between this show and how we play out these dynamics all the time?
Well, I mean, this is like kindness content. You see it on TikTok all the time where someone like goes down the street and they offer somebody, you know, like, oh, like, do you want to like, I'll buy you whatever you want in the store if you answer this question, or I'll go to the burrito stand like, hey, like, I'll buy all these burritos from you and give it to whoever, which theoretically seems like a nice thing. But what you're doing is you're wandering around into somebody's public space and hiring them as an unconsenting actor. Also, the way that we consume media or like watch anything, whenever you have a protagonist, somebody that the point of view is being told from, we just empathize. It's something about human nature where if the main character has any sort of emotion that we can identify with, that's mm-hmm. who we're riding with. You're the main character, so you're the person I'm going to sympathize with.
Yeah.
There's this book called Solaris, I think, by Ian McEwan, and his whole goal was to try and write a story where the audience does not sympathize with the main character, and he failed, because you can't do it.
Yeah.
So when Gerard makes this show, it's something like Kindness Content, where no matter how he edits it, no matter how he formats it, no matter how he makes it, we're going to identify with him. There's things that are going to be cut out. Bo Burnham gets it. He actually, way back in his career, one of his first things he ever made, Zack Stone Is Going to Be Famous, is this pseudo reality TV show about this kid who foregoes his university tuition money and instead hires a camera crew to film him 100% of the time, film everything he does. And it's his takedown of the duplicitousness and negativity and like dishonesty of that pseudo honesty. And that when we get Gerard putting Tyler in that situation, he does have like water off a duck's back sort of comedic way of dealing with uncomfortable situations.
Yeah.
But regardless of how good he is at pushing off that uncomfortability, it's still unfair. We're still seeing it from Gerard's point of view. We still get that idea of limerence. Like, why won't you just like him? And it makes that other guy, it puts him in a really awkward place. And even in real life, like, again, like as a gay person, I came out to people, I told straight people I had crushes on them and like got them involved in my own mess. And sometimes they're sympathetic, sometimes they're horrible, but like, it is not their responsibility to take on my weird life situation. And just because it's two men, it's still not weird to see somebody being friend-zoned as a bad thing. Hopefully we're beyond that. And Tyler not wanting to get into this relationship should be something that's totally fine.
Sarah Ty's got their hands up. Let's go.
I will say, as someone who has watched 4 episodes now and feels the same way as you do, Jackson, about the first episode, it gets even worse. It complicates complicates completely the idea that you're talking about, that we automatically identify with the quote unquote main character. And it becomes super, super, super icky. And I wonder if like where the sincerity is in that, if we're supposed to be questioning how easy that identification normally comes with us, if he's actually this narcissistic person who wants to like convey this image of himself and wants to like fall into this idea of himself that he can never actually like fully maintain in his relationships.
But
it gets really horrible.
I will just say that's really interesting and brave for him to do to himself, but you can't Truman Show other people. I don't like that.
Yeah. But I will say everything that you just said is how you sell me on the show. Because I am interested. Yeah. I'm interested in how this conversation plays out. You know what? This show is going to run for 8 episodes. We're going to have all of you back here at the end of this run. Because I feel like there's so much to talk about. I'm just going to stop you there. Commotion is going to be back in a moment.
Hi, I'm Jessie Cruikshank. I host the number one comedy podcast called Phone a Friend.
Girl, let's phone a friend.
Not only do I break down the biggest stories in pop culture with guests like Dan Levy and members of NSYNC, I do it with my own personal boy band singing jingles throughout. Because it's my show.
It's your show, girl.
New episodes of Phone a Friend.
Yeah.
Drop Thursdays wherever you get your podcasts.
So work it, girl. Yeah, work it.
Okay, that's enough.
Okay, if folks are just joining us, my name is Alamine Abdul-Mahmoud, and this is Commotion, and this is our group chat. We just talked about Gerard Carmichael's new reality show, and now it is time to get into Monkey Man. Okay, the action thriller, Monkey Man, out in theaters today. This is the Dev Patel moment, all right? He wrote this thing, he stars in it, he directed it. Rad, can we just take a moment to talk about Dev Patel and how he got to this point? Because he's got a lot of clout. He could be doing basically anything. This is the thing that he chooses to be doing. You know, why are you surprised by this choice?
No, I'm not surprised by the choice. I'm surprised that you say he could basically do anything, because can he though? Really?
I think he can.
Hey, Dev Patel.
I mean, I love Dev. No, don't get me wrong. I love Dev. And look, you think about Dev Patel. He, you know, it's been 16 years since Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah.
This guy has led 2 Best Picture nominees. He's an Oscar nominee. He's done everything from, you know, comedy like Skins to, you know, medieval fantacies like The Green Knight.
Sorry,
right?
You forgot to mention Aaron Sorkin's The Newsroom. I'm just going to throw that in there. And
Like, yes. Yeah.
You have a sickness, Alan.
Yes. Well, and here's the thing, though, right? It's like, but look at him where he has to, if he wants to be a leading man in an action movie, he has to make it himself, right? And, you know, to mention someone else who's appeared in an Aaron Sorkin movie, look at how Chris Pratt had like a supporting role in Moneyball. Yeah. And then all of a sudden he gets every franchise thrown at him, like Guardians and Jurassic World and all that. Meanwhile, Dev Patel, Marvel never came knocking, right?
That's
and
true.
So he had to, if he wanted to be a leading man in an action movie, he had to go and make it himself.
So the people love a shorthand in terms of describing a movie. The shorthand that has been used to describe this movie has been John Wick. But here's the thing. Dev Patel says he was not thinking about that franchise while making this movie. Let's hear this.
This film is born from my love of so much action cinema, spanning from Bruce Lee to Sammo Hung to Jet Li to Jackie Chan to the Korean cinema that totally changed my life, and also Bollywood, you know? And I think it's kind of a weird cocktail of all these things that I've kind of injected into this film. And I think it's the only real touch point John Wick is for this kind of film. You see a man in a suit.
Right.
And I'm like, you got to watch some Korean movies.
Listen, Jet Li, Jackie Chan, the references that he's making here, Rad, based on everything that he just said, does he deliver on those benchmarks? Be careful how you answer.
Well, look. Well, first of all, he delivers a bare-knuckle action movie that certainly lives in the shadows of those movies, those influences he references, including John Wick, which I don't think is an offhand reference, right?
No.
I think,
it's literally referenced in the movie, by the way. But
well, exactly. Yeah. It's referenced in the movie. And like John Wick, this is a movie about a guy who's fighting his way up to a corrupt organization. Yeah. I mean, and what Dev Patel rightly points out is that he is just influenced by the same movies that influenced John Wick, right? Which is totally fair. In terms of getting back to whether it delivers, man, dude, like when you make an action movie, I need to see the stuff. Okay. Like big problem, like this is my big problem with this movie. And again, I have a lot of like love, appreciation for what he was going for, but the camera's too close. He's always shooting really close to the bodies. It's chopped to hell and back. And I actually couldn't make out what is going on for most of the fighting. And so when the whole movie is building up to these action sequences, it's really deflating when I can't actually make out the action sequences. And when you talk about those influences he mentioned, like, you know, there is an elegance and an elegance to the choreography and the cinematography of action movies. And that is not here. And I wonder if it's a budget issue. I know, like, you know, they've had kind of struggles in the production and there were some funding issues, and he was originally going to make this with the stunt team behind John Wick and the cinematographer behind Old Boy, and that didn't pan out. So I wonder if the close cutting and the choppy editing is a way to disguise that they couldn't necessarily deliver when it comes to the beautiful fight choreography that he's inspired by.
Jackson, on my way in, I saw the CBC review. I saw that you were not a fan of this movie. Talk your talk. How'd you feel about it?
It's so hard. Like, there's so much here that is promising, and I love Dev Patel, and I think he should make a million more movies. This is just like, his reach exceeded his grasp as a first directorial debut. He's trying to do way too much. He's talked about in like promotional material how he was like, doesn't want this to just be an action movie. There's going to be way more here. It's a political critique. It's a dramatic thriller. It's an action movie. It's an homage to Old Boy, The Man from Nowhere, The Raid, kind of in sort of different ways.
Yeah.
But like, that's way too much for writer, director, star doing it all for the first time. And he just doesn't really get the dramatic elements, and by pushing out a lot of the action like a John Wick would do, where it's just like a paper thin plot to set up all these amazing stunts, it really showcases and rests on his dramatic writing, which isn't there. It feels like he's pulling in all these other things. There's like the wiry street kid from like Get the Gringo, or like the damsel in the distress sort of thing from You Never Really Hear, and this guy who's just able to like run through this whole crime boss syndicate, like The Man from Nowhere, like all of these things, but they're just cut and pasted into this movie without the depth and the writing that actually backs them up. And when you take away as much of the action as you would need for it to be a straight action movie, punch them, beat them up sort of thing, and it really showcases what's missing. And I really, really wish it was better by doing less. And you also have this like character, this guy, like all action thrillers really reference and rest on like the competence porn sort of thing, where you see a guy who's just like very
handle everything. Things out,
getting things done. The kid in this is kind of bad at most things. He messes up his first hit. He can't even pour a glass of wine. And there's just like so much there that, like, again, if you would want to rest it on just his charisma, it doesn't quite land. That said, it is good. I also do really, really struggle with the lack of, you know, all of the hands and feet in frame at the same time in the fight scenes.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe because he was trying to do too much. There's like the GoPro mounted scene. There's the close-up scenes. There's the whipping camera scene. So, he's experimenting with too much. He hasn't landed on a style.
Let me just, because I literally have 30 seconds left. Saratai, these are a bunch of haters, man. How did you feel about this movie?
Bunch of haters.
Bunch
for
of haters.
I'm not the hater. I loved it. I agree with all the critiques I'm hearing, especially in the first half. I just think it could have been longer, like, to work it out. But I love the second half. I think it set up the fact that, like, in the first half, he's not a good action character. Mm. And then he's made into one through maternal love, and I loved it. I was surprised by it. I think that it's very, very digestible mainstream filmmaking that wants to do a lot. It's excited. You can feel how almost too excited it is. And this is like the first time in a while I've actually been excited to watch a film by an actor turned director, cough, cough, Bradley Cooper. and like, it's a crowd pleaser. It's very, it has a lot of sincerity to it, which I liked. It has a really surprising and refreshing way of like collecting together different parts of the like Indian underclass, people made marginalized, and that's the part that I love.
I totally agree. And also, before we go, I just want to get a recommendation from each of you, something that you're really digging this week. Jackson, you're up first, my good man. 30 seconds.
I feel like this might be a first time because right now all I'm watching is Orange is the New Black again, but in terms of recommendation, okay, there's a TikTok series I'm going to recommend. A guy named Dink, his name is Jacob Alshen. He's doing like a love letter to all the different TTC stations in Toronto, but he's doing them as like poems. It's poetry. It's amazing. I love it. It has this rhythm to it and like genuine love for the city. And like as a Vancouver transplant, it's really getting my goat.
What's your favorite subway station poem so far?
Oh, the best one?
Yeah.
St. George. I love it. I love it.
Really?
So much. Or Spadina. He has a little Spadina tunnel section.
Okay.
But they're all great.
Okay. I'm in. I'm ready for that. Rad, what about you? What are you watching? What's happening?
Well, first of all, can I just say, let me know when he gets to Kennedy Station or Wharton Station.
But, he's making his way.
let me know when we get there. But, you know, I'm saying Ripley, the new series on Netflix, I'm really enjoying that. And I know, look, I know there's a lot of talented Mr. Ripley fans out there. You love the movie with Matt Damon. A lot of us love the movie with Alain Delon. And I'm not saying this is better than those, but I am going to say that Andrew Scott, the hot priest from Fleabag is, I think this is the best take on Ripley. Like, he is playing a sociopath who absolutely loves his own artistry. And with that combined with just the gorgeous cinematography, like the first time a Netflix show has looked this good since Mindhunter and, you know, in the age of trash aesthetics.
Okay.
It's definitely a good watch.
Okay. I'm ready for that. I'm seated for anything that Andrew Scott does. Saratai, last word to you, 30 seconds.
I also have a TikTok account recommendation.
Oh, okay.
It's faith.onye, O-N-Y-E, and it's a young British Nigerian guy who documents his parents' church outfits. They're old school Nigerian. They're doing poses. It's just like the most lovely, sincere, and also very funny account. It makes me happy every day, which is saying something, because take a look around.
That is beautiful. Okay, I'm good. Two TikTok accounts and Ripley on Netflix. I'm ready. I am going to be investigating all of this weekend. But in the meantime, I want to say thank you. Saratai Black, Jackson Weaver, Rad Time and Play. You guys are the best. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. Saratai Black is a culture critic based in Toronto. Rad Time and Play is a film critic also in Toronto. And Jackson Weaver is a reporter at CBC's Entertainment Unit. All right, and that is it for the podcast today. Look, before we go, can I just tell you about the incredible folks that get this show on the air every week? Commotion was produced by Stuart Berman, Ty Callender, Jean Kim, Jane Vancouverden, and Jess Lowe. Our digital producers are Amelia Ekbal and Shuli Grossman-Gray. Danielle Grogan is our director. Gabby Hagarillas is our engineer. Our senior producer is John Perry. Anne McKeegan is our executive producer. Me, my name is Alamin Abdul Mahmoud. I hope that you have a delightful day. Thanks for hanging with us. I'll see you next time.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.